Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. So glad that you are here as we gather together in God's presence. One of the amazing things is that we live supernatural lives. We're not just living in this realm that we can see, but we actually exist in the supernatural realm. And right here in our midst is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's hard to see him with your physical eye, but he's here. Along with him are myriads of angels. We don't know how many and don't know which one the angel is ready to tap on the back of the head to wake up or what might be necessary this morning, but they're here as well. One of the realities is that there's also a spiritual side of darkness, a dark side. There's a dark side in the spiritual realm, and we war against them. And so when we're trying to be perceiving God and his truth and his word, there's those that are trying to steal it even before we get a chance to pick up those kernels that are given to us. So because of that reality, we are dependent upon God doing something right now. Some of you are teachers and you can get up and you can explain secular truths, and they might come across, the kids might perceive them, they might not, we don't know sometimes. But what we're trying to do this morning requires God's activity. We're trying to get God's truth from God's word through a weak vessel, through the air, into your ears and down into the side of your mind and your soul and even down to your spirit. That's a supernatural thing. So we need to start with prayer. I'm dependent upon God this morning. You are each dependent upon God this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we're amazed at you, that you invite us to come into your presence. You are so holy, we couldn't exist in your presence if it were not for you putting a protective cover over us, the covering of your son's shed blood. But you do offer that gift to us. By your grace, you willingly, Lord Jesus, you willingly died on the cross for us. And so you offer your gift of salvation to us. And so we recognize our need. We reach out hands of faith and we grab a hold of what you are offering. And we recognize that we now have a new identity as ones who are redeemed, ones who are saved, ones who have sin forgiven forever. We're in awe of you, God. And we also are fully aware that today we need a fresh dose of your grace and of your mercy and of your kindness and of your power. We need your truth in our ears over and over again. But sometimes, Lord, it seems like they just bounce off our eardrums and don't get all the way inside. So would you, by your Spirit, use your word like a knife to open us up so your word gets down deep inside, so it changes the way we think, the way we feel, the way we choose to do things, the way we are able to operate. Lord, use your will to do mighty things inside of each of us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill me, fill each one of us, fill this room, silence the enemy, break off all of his attacks, enable us to hear and respond and receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about the journey we are on together as we move through into 2022. There's so much that is in front of us. I have a sense of anticipation. I expect that God's going to be doing some things in each one of our lives. And one of the things that kind of summarizes the bigger picture of it for me is that we are drawing near to him. In a sense, you could say we're drawing near to the flame. We want to be right next to the intensity of God's manifest presence. We want to be people who are not on the fringes, not just hearing things distantly, but people who are pushing in to connect with God, hear from God, respond to God. One of the ways we do that, not the only way, but it's the primary way, and one of the things we need to really evaluate our lives on whether it's in our lives or not, is that we connect to God and draw near to God through his word. We are word dependent. We are word believers. We are word receivers. We are word doers. And our very life is caught up in the word of God. Now, I recognize that there have been people in the past that were so word-oriented, they forgot about Jesus himself. Jesus had criticism for some of his critics who were studying the Word all the time but missed him. So we don't ever want to be Word fascinated in such a way as we're seeing it only as principles and only as rules and only as things that have to be followed. We want to see the Word as what it really is, the very life of Christ. Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the Word is God. It's God's Word. And so we seek it not for knowledge, we seek it for encounter. We seek it for understanding of Him in an intimate way. We are people of the Word. I want you to have that as part of your identity. You are a person of the Word. There are lots of people who claim to be Christians, but not many of them who really are people of the Word. In fact, you can go to churches around our nation this morning and not hear much of the Word. We dig into the Word. We grapple with the Word. We think about the Word. We proclaim the Word. We speak the Word. We make it the foundation of our life. Psalm 119 is a fascinating psalm written by David. He has each paragraph starting with the letter of one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. All the verses in the first paragraph start with Aleph. All the verses in the second paragraph start with Beit and on through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The focus of this long psalm, the longest psalm, is the Word of God. And I encourage you to read it. I'm just going to read portions of it today, as well as some other scriptures. But it's amazing to read David's hunger for the Word. And what we'll see is there's all sorts of benefits that come to each and every one of us through the Word. Reading Psalm 119 at verse 9. Psalm 119 verse 9 reads this way. And if you're a young man, pay attention. How can, Roger, you paying attention? How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. One of the things you could do as you're reading through Psalm 119 is look at all the synonyms used for the Word of God. It's like he's racking his brain to come up with every possible synonym as he again and again talks about his love for the Word and his need for the Word and the benefits of the Word. We are people who need the Word. 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5. Paul is speaking to this young pastor and encouraging him to be a Word-based pastor. But all of us can take this same instruction to heart. It's not just for those who are called to full-time ministry. It's for every one of us who are believers and then, because of that, ambassadors for Christ. All of us can put ourselves into this verse. So Paul is speaking and he's putting a charge to Timothy. But let it be a charge that God gives to you. Hear this from God's word, God's voice to you through his word. I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. 2 Timothy 4. That's the reality that we're living in now. There are people all around us, maybe even amongst us, who are tuning out the true word of God and instead are filling their ears with things that suit their own passions and pleasures. We are a pleasure-seeking country. We value pleasure, it seems, more than anything else. Personal rights, personal satisfactions, how we can each feel good. We've forgotten our duties, our responsibilities, and our sense of commitment to what Jesus is calling us to be and to do. The Word corrects us in those misunderstandings. But since we live in such a dangerous time, filled with so many who are rejecting the truth of God's Word, we need to all the more be dialed into, immersing ourselves in, the Word of God. So I want to give you a list. Note takers, 9 points, 9 truths, 9 reasons why you should be feasting on Scripture this year. 9 reasons why you should be feasting on Scripture. Some of these come from my learning from John Piper. Some of these I've adapted. Some of these I've added in. Some of John's are left out. 9 is all I'm going to give you. There's many more. 9 reasons you should feast on Scripture this year. Number 1, Scripture saves. In reality, God uses Scripture to save. If you want to be saved, if you want to be rescued, if you want to be a person who's on the road to heaven, you need Scripture. Scripture saves. 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in these, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's good advice to a preacher, it's good advice to a parent, it's good advice to a Sunday school instructor, it's good advice to every one of us who recognizes that our words have an impact. So I want to immerse myself in Scripture and keep myself true to Scripture and to the teaching so that I can make sure I am saved myself and those who hear me are saved. I know of no worse agony than for a parent to have a child not walking with Jesus. There could be nothing worse. When we look at all of eternity and put everything in perspective, that's the worst. So we want to, as parents, as grandparents, as influencers in our family, we want our words to be laced with Scripture, to be guided by Scripture, to be empowered by Scripture, to be Scripture, so that we're making sure we ourselves are right in our understanding of God's Word and are saved ourselves, but also so our hearers are. Scripture saves. Number 2, Scripture frees us from Satan. Scripture frees us from Satan. Jesus was speaking and he said to the Jews who had believed in him, this is John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. People are in bondage to the devil, to the world, to their own self. They're in bondage and need to be set free. It's the truth of Christ through his words, empowered by the Holy Spirit, so it gets down inside of us, that breaks the chains around our heart and around our bodies so that we can be free to respond in faith and then respond in obedience. You are set free through the Word. If you're not experiencing freedom, you need more of the Word. And just to reiterate, whenever I say the Word, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit speaking the Word from God into your heart through Scripture, but then activating it so it's received. You could almost put Jesus in every spot where I use the word, Word. Jesus frees us through his Word, through his Scripture, from Satan. Jesus modeled that when he first was about to enter ministry. He was led out into the wilderness to commune with God. He had 40 days of fasting and feasting. And during that time, Satan attacked. And how did Jesus fight? He fought with the Word of God. He had internalized the Word, so the Word came out as a sword out of his mouth to cut down the lies of the enemy. You are freed from Satan through Scripture. Number 3, God, through Scripture, imparts his grace and his peace. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." He worded it a little differently this time than he did in his other letters. Grace and peace are commonly something he's bestowing upon his readers. But this time he says it's through the word, through the knowledge of the word that that comes. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. How do you have knowledge of God? It's through the revelation of God. God reveals himself through his word. So we want to be people of the word if you want more grace and more peace. Do you need peace? Oh, there's so much anxiety in our culture right now. The antidote to anxiety is the scripture that gives peace. Number four, Jesus through scripture sanctifies. Sanctifies, that's a good religious word. What it means is makes holy. Sets apart from the things that are profane, from the things that are ordinary, and sets apart for holy use. A sanctified vessel in the temple was used only for the special acts of worship, not common, ordinary things. And a sanctified person is made holy unto the Lord so that their life now is a tool in God's kingdom to bring about God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Scripture says that the word itself sanctifies Jesus in his high priestly prayer. John 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed this for you. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus the Son prays that to God the Father, that the Holy Spirit would use the word to sanctify his followers. If you're struggling with sin, if you can't seem to get over a plaguing addiction to something or a weakness in some area, if you're just not living the holy life you want to, then immerse yourself in the word, because the word, the truth of Christ, sanctifies. Number five. Scripture gives joy. Oh, we need this. Scripture gives joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. They had the joy of the Holy Spirit as they received the word, even in the midst of affliction. Or I love this paraphrase of Psalm 1. Psalm 1 in the Living Bible translation. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. What happens when you meditate on the law of God, the word of God, day and night? You get the joys. You get the blessings. You get the things that come from God. Oh, the joys of those who meditate on God's word. I wish I could just pour joy over each one of you. I wish I could just open up your chest and push in a whole bunch of joy. I don't have that ability. But it doesn't matter, because God made an easier way. He says his word brings joy. So I encourage you to get a joy allotment every day in God's word. Open it up. Hear God's voice. Hear God's truth. And he will put in you the joy you need for that day. End your day by opening up his word and hearing his voice, speaking his truths into you. So you go to bed each night with joy on your heart. Number six, Scripture protects us from destructive error. Scripture protects us from destructive error. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, reading on through verse 14, Paul is giving them instructions about how the church works. He talks about the different leaders that are raised up, and these leaders, their role is to bring the people to maturity in Christ, which means understanding the word of Christ. And why is that so important? It reads this way. God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we are all attaining to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature adulthood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's God's goal for you, to be so aware of God's truth so connected to God through His Word, that you're mature in Him, attaining the stature of Christ. And the result of that, the next verse, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine or by human cunning or by craftiness in deceitful schemes. The Word protects us from all that crafty, cunning, deceitful stuff that the enemy is throwing at us and the world around us is trying to impose upon us. We need the Word of God. Will you be a person who feasts on the Word this year? Number 7, Scripture brings God's approval. You want to hear a well done or an attaboy or way to go, girl? Be a person of the Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, but is rightly handling the Word of truth. You realize, of course, that someone could use words printed in the Bible, twist them a little bit, and make just about any point. And there's been lots of that has occurred over the ages, and I'm afraid that I have even been guilty of taking a word and making it mean what I wanted it to mean rather than recognizing what it truly means and how I should respond to it. We continually need to be people who are rightly handling the Word of truth, who understand it and apply it appropriately and rightly. Number 8, Scripture gives life and sustains life. It actually is necessary for the sustaining of your life. Back to Psalm 119, this time way down to verse 92 and 93. If your instructions had not sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. It's God's Word that sustains us and gives us life. Jesus admitted to this when he was fighting against Satan in that temptation in the wilderness. He responded to Satan's temptation by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how you live. It's not just how you start your journey with Christ. It's how you continue it and sustain it and keep it going. It's the Word of Christ. Lastly, Scripture reminds you of your true identity. Scripture reminds you of your true identity. I so appreciated the songs that the ladies picked out for our singing this morning. Numerous ones were joining in this same point. Scripture reminds us of our real identity. John 1:12 says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you believe, you're a child of God. That's your identity. Came across a story again that I enjoyed years ago and enjoyed reading again this week. It's about a seminary professor who was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. One morning they were eating breakfast at a little restaurant, hoping to enjoy a quiet family meal. But while they were waiting for their food, they noticed a distinguished-looking white-haired gentleman moving from table to table, visiting with the guests. The professor leaned over and whispered to his wife, I hope he doesn't come over here. But sure enough, the man did come over to their table. Where are you folks from? He asked in a friendly voice. Oklahoma, they answered. Oh, great to have you here in Tennessee, the stranger said. What do you do for a living? I teach at a seminary, he replied. Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, then I've got a really great story for you. And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair and sat down at their table and joined them. The professor groaned and thought to himself, oh, great, just what I need, another preacher story. You see that mountain out that window there? He said, pointing through the restaurant window. Not far from the base of that mountain, there was a boy born to an unwed mother. He had a hard time growing up because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. Hey, boy, who's your daddy? It was a bit of a scandal in their town. Whether he was at school or at the grocery store or the drugstore, people would ask the same question. Hey, who's your daddy? He would hide at recess and at lunchtime from the other students. He would avoid going into stores because you didn't want to answer that question. When he was 12 years old, a new preacher came to his church. Now, the boy would always go in late and slip out early to avoid hearing anybody ask him, "Who's your daddy?" But the new preacher said the benediction so fast that the boy got caught up and had to walk out with the crowd. And just as he got to the back, the new preacher, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and asked him, "Hey, son, who's your daddy?" The whole church got deathly quiet. He could feel every eye in the church looking at him. Now everyone would finally know the answer to the question, "Who's your daddy?" But this new preacher sensed the situation around him, and using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could give, said the following to that scared little boy, "Wait a minute, I know who you are. I can see the family resemblance now. You're a child of God." And he slapped the boy on the shoulder and said, "You've got a great inheritance. Go claim it." I think there's numerous people that need to hear that said over them, because they're forgetting their identity. They're forgetting who they are. Scripture tells you who you are. With that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time and walked out the door a changed person. He was never the same again. Whenever anybody asked him, "Who's your daddy?" he would say, "I'm a child of God." The distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, "Isn't that a great story, preacher?" And the man agreed. That was a great story. And as he turned to leave, he said, "You know, if that new preacher hadn't told me that I was one of God's children, I probably never would have amounted to anything." And he walked away. The seminary professor and his wife were stunned and didn't know what to say. And eventually the waitress came by and they said, "Waitress, do you know who that man is that was just here?" "Oh, him. Everybody knows him. Yeah, that's Ben Hooper. He's the former governor of Tennessee." Do you know who you are? Have you been saved? Have you been freed from Satan? Have you received grace and peace? Have you been sanctified? Do you have joy? Are you being protected from destructive error? Are you receiving God's approval? Are you having your life sustained? Do you know who you are? The solution to all those needs comes from God as His Spirit activates His Word in you. Will you be a person who feasts on the Word of God this year? Now, you might need to fast from some things in order to make room for God's Word. But what a great trade-off. Feast on God's Word. It is essential for every aspect of your life.